today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What a wonderful treat it is to have Leonard Maltin on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are truly a Hollywood history book, and I'll tell you something. This book has some names and interviews in it that go way back. When did you start doing this? When you were 4 years old? Is that when you started interviewing these people?
Advance it a couple of years, and you got it right.
Oh, I did the right thing. I'm glad it. You know, I did it.
You did.
It took me like
Mike should have done this with the first two women that he tried to marry.
Don't say
he didn't. He took the wrong exit twice, and now he got Carla, which is the right exit.
Yeah, because now he's got the ways of love, W-A-Z-E. He's got navigating to happiness.
I've been married twice. I'm twice divorced, too. I'm almost up there with Mike.
All right, you both need a new GPS, sir. That's all I can tell you. I'm getting the douche chills right now because I was dating a girl at one point that lived back here in Maryland or the D.C. area, and I was in Phoenix.
Right.
And she would send me the ring back. Oh, she made her ring back a tone this song because we were dating like long distance.
Yes.
And I remember being like, this is the coolest thing ever. And you think I was 16, I was 27.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, I'm Rob, and this is my mother.
Hi, I'm Sharon, and this is my son.
One of our favorite holiday traditions is getting together each year and making our magnificent fruitcakes entirely from scratch. And now, you can finally taste the magic thanks to the Mike O'Mara Show's Fruitcake Futures.
Buy it now, and it'll be in your mouth in time for Thanksgiving.
These are the real deal.
Don't forget the Christmas miracle. Every cake purchased supports TMOS.
Get one for yourself and one as a gift. Just go to TMOSfruitcake.com and do it now.
Because Mother said so.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeOmaraShow.com. What more can we do for you?
Oh, this is a lot of fun. I am so looking forward to chatting with this gentleman, Leonard Maltin. His book is Hooked on Hollywood Discoveries from a Lifetime of Film Fandom, available on Amazon. He's done this for such a long time. He's written for the New York Times. He's been on Entertainment Tonight. He hosts podcasts. He's taught at USC. What a wonderful treat it is to have Leonard Maltin on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are truly a Hollywood history book, and I'll tell you something. This book has some names and interviews in it that go way back. When did you start doing this? When you were 4 years old? Is that when you started interviewing these people?
Advance it a couple of years and you got it right.
Okay.
I guess I was 13 when I was publishing my first, what we now call a fanzine. That's a term that has gone with the wind in the era of the internet and social media. But at that time, it was a big deal. There were a lot of people who published their own amateur magazines or fanzines, some of them on science fiction, some of them on movies, all sorts of subjects. I got hooked on old movies and old movie history through television. I grew up a baby boomer, the first TV generation, and they had to fill all this airtime. So they filled it with The Little Rascals, Our Gang, Laurel and Hardy, later The Three Stooges. They even showed silent film comedy shorts. And I was just mesmerized by all of this. And also, I love to write, and I combined my two great interests together.
It's a fascinating book, and there are names that I'm 59 years old, and there are names that I know and names that I don't know. We'll get to some of those names in a second here. When I think of the early days of the big studios, Leonard, I think it's really the media that I digest, the movies and TV shows that I've watched. You think that you think of all these guys as tyrants. Who was the baddest dude during the old studio system, and were there any of these guys who had a good reputation in the business? Because it sounds like these actors and actresses under contract were really victimized by some of these nasty studio heads.
Yes, but not all, and not everyone agrees with that characterization of the so-called bad old good old days. This isn't in the book, but I got to interview Katharine Hepburn, lucky me, several times. And we were talking at one point, and she famously staged her own comeback. She'd been labeled box office poison in 1938. And so she went to Broadway, and her boyfriend du jour, Howard Hughes, you may have heard of him, backed her new show, The Philadelphia Story, written by Philip Barry. And it was a great vehicle for her. She owned the movie rights and sold them to Louis B. Mayer and negotiated in good faith with him. And she had no complaints against him. And at one point, I said something about Harry Cohn at Columbia, who did not have a very good reputation. And she said, nice man.
Wow.
I think I did some sort of a spit take or something. I said, nice man. She says, well, he was very nice to me.
Wow.
So that's how it goes. And some people, some actors in particular, and directors and writers too, appreciated the kind of cocoon that those studios provided. They didn't have to think for themselves at all. Mm-hmm. Everything was laid out for them. They were given lessons in dancing, lessons in grooming, lessons in fencing, you know, kind of traditional dramatic requirements. And then they were assigned movies. Now, some of them balked at those assignments. They were, you know, they wanted to make their own choices. Others appreciated the fact that the studio was, in theory and sometimes in practice, looking out for their best interests.
Until they rubbed somebody the wrong way, right? And,
well,
happened.
Course.
That happened, too.
Of course. So some of them would say they were benevolent despots. Others would say things a little stronger than we showed on the radio.
We're talking to Leonard Maltin. His book is Hooked on Hollywood, Discoveries from a Lifetime of Film Fandom. Everybody remembers you from a 30-year run on Entertainment Tonight. Would you say the biggest change, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, you know better than I do, but as far as the biggest change in the movies would be the CGI, I think that that would be my impression, that that's what's changed filmmaking the most. Would you agree with that?
I would agree completely that it's changed filmmaking the most, but I think future historians and even present-day historians have to separate the movies that are pre-iPhone movies and pre-computer movies. Think how many movies we see now that are so dependent on the heroes or heroines using their phones, texting each other, going to copy a file on a computer before time runs out. If there had been such things, there would be no Dial M for Murder. There would be no Rear Window. There's so many movies that would have been obliterated by that technology.
Yeah, it's
fact,
stunning.
I introduced a screening of Rear Window here in L.A. a couple of years ago, and we had a very big turnout and a lot of younger people, and I felt I had to explain flash photography.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Rob, is he preaching to you? We've got a guy on our show, Leonard, Rob Spiewak, who you talked to before we started this interview. We've got Oscar Santana here as well. And we talked, Rob was so excited about having you on because I know Leonard, his podcast is on the Nerdist Network, and Rob is our resident Nerdist.
That's
and,
me.
You are a fan. You're a huge fan.
Well, I have to say this. I would not be doing my job if I didn't. I've owned every copy of your movie guide until it stopped publishing. From 1982 on, it was a gift that I got every Christmas. And one year, one summer, when I was about 15 or 16, I read your movie guide. I just read it like a novel.
All of it.
And it was so great because, Mr. Maltin, you are IMDb before there was IMDb. And it was everything you needed was in this book. I still have a copy of the 2010 that I keep at my desk. I brought it into work today. I am never without it. It's the most valuable source I've ever found. And I thank you for publishing it for as many years as you did.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you. We put a lot of work as well as a lot of love into that book. And hearing stories like that really puffs me up and makes me feel like maybe we did something right.
Well, you did it absolutely right because IMDb can never get the 4-star system right. Your rating is always right.
All right. You two, get a room, okay? All right. Enough of this. You know what? The book is Hooked on Hollywood. And one of the things in this book, when you interview, you sat down with Henry Wilcoxon. Now, listen to that name, because a lot of people won't know who we're talking about here. And Leonard's interview, which is included in the book, predates this film. But you will remember Henry Wilcoxon as the bishop in Caddyshack. Pardon me, Leonard, I'm talking to my audience right now, so I want to make sure that they know. Henry Wilcoxon.
Whatever point of identification you choose.
That's my point of identification, but if you read Leonard's book, you realize this gentleman, Henry Wilcoxon, had an amazing association with Cecil B. DeMille back in the day, and I was fascinated by your interview. I think it was 1969 you interviewed him, and he was a studio guy with this chiseled face, and people would go back and look at old movies. movies and remember this. You have tons of these interviews with people like Burgess Meredith, and this book is filled with some of these interviews. I thought that was just tremendous how far back you go with these guys, and it shows your love of the movies. But Henry Wilcoxon had to be a fascinating interview.
Well, he was, and he was a good storyteller, too. You know, he was Mark Antony to Claudia Colbert's Cleopatra.
Way back when.
Mm-hmm. The DeMille epic of 1934. He's in a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows. In fact, he was shooting a TV show on the Universal lot when I got to interview him over lunch. A more charming man you could not find.
That is so cool. Oscar Santana, you want to dumb it down for this interview?
No, I don't want to dumb it down.
Dumb it down.
No, why am I the dumb it down?
He's going to elevate it.
I disagree with the movies that you love, but go ahead, ask Leonard a question.
I'm a Transformers guy. They hold it against me all the time, Mr. Malton. I do have a question that has to do with the business of filmmaking. There are ways to make films on iPhones these days, and there are ways to create on a level that, frankly, wasn't available to most, and there has been a shift where you could put together a few thousand dollars and then come up with a film that everybody wants to see.
Right.
Right? What I want to ask you is, even though that has happened, do you see a difference in strategy from these larger studios? Because it feels like this tentpole strategy, which is you have four or five big brands that carry your entire world financially for the year for a major studio, is still in place. But with more people making movies, how much harder is it to break through when people are still leaning on the tentpole strategy?
You've described it correctly as far as I'm concerned, and I think that's why we see so much consolidation. That's one reason we see so much consolidation. Why would Disney buy 20th Century Fox? That doesn't seem to make much sense on the face of it. They're both, you know, extremely successful operations. What has one got to do with the other? Time Warner and AT&T, that's been approved. Now that's a done deal. Why all of this? Well, because they're trying to corner every market. Some of these companies already have invested in the new era, new age filmmakers, as YouTube has, and as many, many others have. So they know they can't make that kind of little movie. But sometimes those little movies can pay off rather handsomely. If your investment is small, you don't have to turn much of a profit to, you know, to be successful.
Hmm. What's your state on the current state of Hollywood? I feel like every other day, it's another comic book epic that we're looking at. Are we going to continue to see that?
As long as people show up to pay their money to see them in the theaters and elsewhere. You know, some people have talked about superhero fatigue.
Right.
That maybe they're wringing it dry. And I get that feeling sometimes. But we haven't had too many, if any, outright flops.
Yeah.
You know, and what's more, true. The other thing you have to remember now is they're not just selling it in Peoria. They're selling it in Beijing.
Yeah.
You know,
that means that's a yes.
Business now.
That means more Spider-Man. Yeah. All right.
In the first time in history, I think, the box office numbers outside the U.S. are more meaningful than the ones within.
Wow.
So we're going to see more of that. I want to get to your career at ET.
You can sell Spider-Man anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You can sell the Smurfs anywhere in the world. Or those Minions. You can sell them anywhere.
Can you sell a Sideways with the Paul Giamatti movie? Can you sell that anywhere in the world?
That's the question.
Yeah.
The gut answer would be, I don't think so.
Right.
But a good movie does translate. So, you know, if you've made something really good, I think that's step one. Start by making a good movie.
You're at ET for 30 years. So, Leonard Maltin, back in the day, I mean, for your entire career, you've had the doors held open for you from these productions. But I am wondering, and I know you don't like to say bad things about anybody, but I'm curious if you could tell us about any moments where you caught a star on a bad day, or, you know, he was going through a bad patch. Do you have any rude stories, Leonard Maltin? I sound like Jiminy Glick. Do you have any bad stories, Leonard Maltin? Because I'd like to hear you. I know the volume of work you've done, the people you've sat down with. Yeah. Come on, tell me somebody who.
By the way, I've been interviewed on air by Jiminy Glick.
Oh, that's
God.
Right. You have
one of my proudest achievements.
That's wonderful. Any particularly memorable day for Leonard Maltin where it just didn't go right?
I've had astonishingly few. One day, there was a movie junket. A weekend of press and interviews, and usually E.T., with its clout and with our very insistent producer, made sure we went first so that the actors would be fresh. And this one time, It didn't happen. There was just a screw up. It was a last minute change of plans. And we actually went last.
Mm. Oh, boy.
I mean, really last. And then when they were figuring out what order the actors should come in for the interviews, they placed Richard Dreyfuss dead last.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no, okay. Is right.
Okay. Okay.
I've talked to him a number of times, and he's a great talker. He loves to talk.
Okay.
So I figured no problem there. But he had been kept waiting a long time. And when he walked in the room to shoot the interview, he was ticked off. Big time. He was just in a terrible frame of mind. And he sat down. And he'd come in to say hello to us while we were setting up the shoot. You know, it was very friendly. And so I didn't see this coming at all. He came in and sat down. And he said, "All right. Ask me something about this movie I haven't answered 100 times already."
Man.
Now, mind you, I thought he was teasing me. I didn't think he was serious. So I just started right away and said, "Well, how much of you is in this character and how much of this character is based on you?" And he went, "Ah." And maybe today I would have had the nerve to do this. In my fantasy version of this, I stop the cameras and I say to him, "Richard, we all want to go home. Just give me 10 minutes and we can all go home happy. We'll plug your movie." But I didn't do that. I was a little naive and afraid of confrontation and all that kind of stuff. So I just plugged away. I just kept peppering him with questions. And eventually, because he does like to talk, he started answering my questions. And at that point, what you do, if you know that you're going to edit your own piece, is you're listening for the sound bites to go by.
Right.
All right, there's one. That's two. Three, and I got a story, and eventually I got my story.
Oh, my God.
And then he was friendly again. Oh, nice to see you.
Yeah. That's actors, mercurial actors. That's the way it goes. We're talking to Leonard Maltin. Please pick up his book. It's really fascinating. It's called Hooked on Hollywood. We've only got you for a few more minutes here, Leonard, and I want to just do this really, really quickly. We'll do rapid fire after this last question I have for you because, I was a big fan in the day of Entertainment Tonight, and I don't know why I wrote down this question. Please don't disrespect me for it. John Tesh and Mary Hart are throwing separate cocktail parties on the same night, and you can only go to one. Whose party do you go to?
Mary Hart, because I've known her longer, and we've remained friends.
Isn't he skillful? See, he's done these interviews, so he knows that. All right, you ready for rapid?
John and I always liked each other very well.
Thank you. You've covered your butt completely on that one.
That's wonderful.
Now, rapid fire. Are you ready for this? I'm going to give you 10 quickies, and we'll let you go, okay? Most of this is post-1970. Best body of work post-1970, actor or actress?
Oh, actor or actress. I was going to say Steven Spielberg for filmmaker.
Okay.
Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Counting mostly the early portion of that.
Okay, yeah.
Not the intern?
I agree.
The favorite intern is one of the better ones.
Favorite Hollywood personality? Has nothing to do with the work, but just the person that you enjoyed spending time with.
Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, that makes me smile. God, I love that answer. That's worth the whole interview right there. Best director? And you would probably say Spielberg, I would imagine.
Spielberg.
Most beautiful looking film? You've written about extensively about cinematography. What's the most beautiful looking film? And that doesn't have to be post-1970, but what is the most beautiful looking film?
The Last Emperor.
Oh, that is gorgeous.
Yes. Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then remember that. Mm-hmm. Remember. Makes me want to go get it right after I talk to him. Most beautiful woman ever to grace the screen. And that's not post-1970. That's at any time. The most beautiful woman for the camera in cinematic history. Ava Gardner.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. This is tough, but it is post-1970. Best comedy, in your humble opinion?
Annie Hall.
Wow.
Good answer.
Okay.
Yeah,
that is a good answer. That is a good answer. I can walk to the curb from here. Hey, how about that, Leonard? I did pretty good with that one, right?
Not bad.
Favorite Quentin Tarantino movie?
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, most of us, I suppose. That was too easy. Godfather 1 or 2?
I rate them almost equally.
Okay.
But if there had been a 1, there couldn't have been a 2. So I'll say the original Godfather.
Popcorn, buttered, or plain?
Plain.
Plain. You can see...
If you're at home, sprinkled with M&Ms.
Oh! Nice! Attaboy, Leonard!
I got time for two more before we let you go. You can see only one movie one last time. It's the last movie of your life to see. What are you going to go see?
A Night at the Opera. with the Marx Brothers.
Yes!
Oh, Rob Spivak, yes! You have made him so happy. Wow. Oh, that, my God.
I'm so glad I came to work today.
Oh, my God. And finally, Leonard, middle seat or aisle seat?
Aisle.
Aisle seat. You nice. Are aisle terrific. Seat. Get this book. It is really incredible. Leonard Maltin, Hooked on Hollywood, Discoveries from a Lifetime of Film Fandom. As someone who for years and years has based whether or not he was going to spend his Friday night in a certain theater, I thank you, Leonard, and continued wonderful success. Let me get all the plugs. You've got a podcast too, Maltin on the Movies podcast on the Nerdist Network, and it's a wonderful podcast as well.
Oh, thank you. By my daughter.
By your daughter, Jessie, who hosts correct. That. By the way, you know what? There's one thing. I'm sorry. I just, because we let you, you hold the Guinness World Record for the shortest movie review. I don't know what that is.
That was not submitted by me. It was submitted by one of my readers who took note of it. There's a really mediocre musical from the late 40s called Isn't It Romantic? And my review is no. This person submitted it to Guinness as the world's shortest movie review, and they accepted it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Right. Leonard, thank you so much.
I am the happy beneficiary.
That is wonderful. Good luck with everything, and I hope the book kills, and you're a wonderful guy. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a treat to talk to you guys. Thanks so much.
Well, 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 Rob Spivak, the Marx Brothers. He is walking on air. A Night at the Opera by the okay. All right, now it's official. I might have to go back and
it's such a great film. No, you should. Come on, have a few beers and watch the Marx Brothers. Open your mind, man. Black and white is cool.
Everybody has great joy, Oscar. You got the great joy that these movies are big in Beijing now. So we're going to see Spider-Man for a million years now, because that's the way it goes.
I can't believe he said the Marx Brothers.
Practically came out of his chair and I wanted to throw up. Start the show, damn it.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hello, boss. What are you doing here?
Hello. Well, this makes it a perfect voyage. I'm terribly sorry, but I thought this was my trunk.
It is your trunk.
I don't remember packing you, boys. Say, isn't that my shirt you've got on?
Hey, look, I don't know. I found it in the trunk.
Well, then it couldn't be mine. Well, it's nice seeing you boys again, but I was expecting my other suit. You didn't happen to see it, did you?
Yeah, it took up too much room, so we sold it.
Did you get anything for it?
$1.40.
That's my suit, all right. You fellas have got to get out of here. I've got a date with a lady in a few minutes, and you know the old saying, two's company and five's a crowd.
We go, but first we wanted something to eat. We don't eat all day. We're hungry.
All right, but you've got to promise to scram out right after you've eaten.
All right.
Stuart.
Yes, sir.
I say, Stu.
Yes, sir.
What do we got for dinner?
Anything you like, sir. You might have some tomato juice, orange juice, grape juice, pineapple juice.
Hey, turn off the juice before I get electrocuted. All right, let me have one of each. And two fried eggs, two poached eggs, two scrambled eggs, and two medium-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs. Make that three hard-boiled eggs. And some roast beef, rare, medium, well done, and overdone.
And two hard-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs. Make that three hard-boiled eggs. And eight pieces of French pastry.
This two hard-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs. Make that three hard-boiled eggs. And one duck egg. Have you got any stewed prunes?
Yes, sir.
Well, give them some black coffee. That'll sober them up.
And two hard-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs. It's either foggy out or make that 12 more hard-boiled eggs. Do they allow tipping on the boat?
Oh, yes, sir.
Have you got two fives?
Yes, sir.
Well, then you won't need the 10 cents I was going to give you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spivak, Oscar Santana, and now here's Rob.
That was a tape for Leonard Maltin from his favorite movie. Live from the beautiful and state-of-the-art Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show is a worldwide radio show and podcast with loyal listeners who get it, and if you're here, you are in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on the fantastic PlayaPod app. Get it, use it, update it now, and get our show all day, every day. You can write us. P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007, or call us anytime at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Good day to do it, because it's Wide Open Wednesday. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now, and here's something to keep in mind, Oscar. I'm not a reactionary. I don't want you to panic.
Okay.
But this is the calm before the storm. There is an 85% likelihood that the Fed will raise rates in their September and December meetings. And so now is the time to lock in a low fixed rate or get pre-approved for a new loan before rates go any higher. Go to Cornerstone First Financial. Whether it's a refi or a purchase, you will get the lowest rates guaranteed. Come on, work with the friends of this show. Cornerstone First Financial is a direct lender with their own money and the ability to meet any competitor's estimate. You see, they have a certain amount that they have to clear off their warehouse every month. And they do this by offering the absolute lowest rates. Makes sense. Plus, you can get pre-approved before you go to work with an agent, so you know what you qualify for. So just do what everybody else that listens to TMOS does. They go to Cornerstone and they get treated like kings.
Boom, bam.
They'll treat you like a king, I promise you. Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial at 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and get a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention to from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and now Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial. Thank you, Leonard Maltin, for speaking with us today.
Very, 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 very cool.
Neat, neat guy. How you doing?
I'm great.
Tell the truth.
I feel like I've been rolled. By that, I mean, as I was walking down the streets of D.C.
Yeah, on a brisk morning.
Yeah, every time I wanted to go to bed, I had four or five gentlemen kick me in the face.
That's how you feel?
That's how I feel. So there's I guess everybody has like a sleep regimen before they go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have, and Mike always says this, as, by the way, Mike is not here for the body of the program.
Yeah, he's gone, he's lobstering.
We will get into the phone calls in just a little bit, because it is Open Line Wednesday.
Yeah, stand by, wide open Wednesday.
And whatever.
You named it.
You call in on Wednesday.
Yeah, you phone us.
It's not wow.
No. It is a wow. People say wow.
Yeah, but we're not asking you to whip them out.
No, no, no. That's from another era.
Those days have passed.
They certainly have. We haven't even any bumper stickers.
I was talking to the guys on Big O and Dukes yesterday, where we were just waxing poetic about how times have changed and how certain types of radio just wouldn't exist, even though they weren't hate radio. It was just there was a lot of joking and breaking of balls, and there's not a place for that now, it seems, unless you're on satellite radio or a podcast.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, I've been at it a long time. You've been at it a long time. I still fancy myself, because, you know, I work with people like Mike, as a young broadcaster. And even in my career, there has been a seismic change.
It's super interesting, but I would be remiss to say that today is the day where you're going to really find out what Oscar Santana is like with 3 hours of sleep.
Okay, punchy.
A little punchy.
That's fine.
We should go to the calls.
Yes, please do.
You know what? I actually have the controls. So strange to run the show.
Yeah, you know, at home you have rats and here you have the mouse.
Yeah, well, the rats are gone. Well, that's a big win.
That is a win.
I remind my wife that all the time. She goes, I hope there aren't any rats. I'm like, they're gone.
Oh, is she one of those? Think they might come back at any time.
Well, I mean, if you don't have a solution, which we don't, move on with your life.
Amen, sister. Right? Come on, Peach. Give it up.
All right. Is this Dante? I think I see it. Dante from...
No, Dan.
Dan.
You're going to have to read that, because I got my readers on. New York. I can't read across the room for you.
Well, it's not even about readers. It's the black on red that's 50 feet away from me.
Yeah, it's not...
That's a problem. Thank you, Pony, by the way, for coming in and leaving. Hi, Dan from upstate New York.
He thought he could get his parking for free, by the way.
Yes. So,
hey, Dan, what's up?
Gentlemen, good morning. I'm sorry that Mike's not there.
We're not. It's actually a lot less tense, sir.
Yeah, very relaxed. It's like a day at the spa.
Anything goes.
I decided to call because I saw the second notice that said it's not the heat, it's the stupidity. And in my giddiness of excitement as I'm traveling down the interstate in upstate New York, I missed my goddamn turn, so now I got to go through, figure out how to get back on where I'm supposed to be.
I love the fact that our notification ruined your day.
That's a pod. That's also the podcast hypnosis. I've done that listening to many a show.
Mm-hmm. Adrian answering the phones, and I'm on the long and winding road, and he started to sing to me.
Really? What did he sing?
Well, he was trying to sing. What's the song, Rob? The Long and Winding Road.
It's by an obscure European rock band named The Beatles.
Not that one. Who cares?
Okay, you're the long and winding phone call. Listen to me, Dan. There are two things I love about Adrian. None of them have to do with his singing or his...
Are you drunk, Oscar?
No.
He's just tired.
I'm just tired, man.
He's been Benadryl'd.
Okay.
Yes.
Whoa! We do that to my dog in thunderstorms.
What do you, Dan, what would you like, sir?
Nothing. I just called up.
Oh, that's very kind.
It's very kind.
Yes.
But it does lack direction.
No, but you know what? It makes sense. He's in upstate New York. He's enjoying the nice, crisp, cool air. It's probably hot up there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's hot.
And then he decided to call the program.
Up here, boys. All right. I'm getting back onto Route 90. Love you.
Love you. I guarantee you he really went. He didn't have anywhere to go.
What a great way to open the show. Let's go to Wes in Pennsylvania. Wes, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good morning, Rob. Good morning, Oscar. How's everybody?
Hey, Wes, what's going on, man?
Actually, I called in for a little bit of therapy. I was going to address something to Mike and Oscar, but since Mike is not there, I'll address it mainly to Oscar. And
okay.
Because, Rob, you've been married for like 20-some-odd years, so you've been pretty insulated from this type of situation. But Oscar...
What, happiness?
Even though Oscar's married... Shortly, but he's you know, I had to do a breakup on Monday.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
I had to initiate a breakup, and it had to be done, and I feel bad, but, you know, I was just kind of, you know, wanting to hear Oscar's take on it.
Oscar's take.
An early Oscar's take.
Can I ask for some vitals, sir?
Yeah, okay. I'm 54.
All right.
She was 49. We only went out for like 3 weeks, but nice girl. I liked her. She was nice. She was pretty, but it just wasn't there for me. I just wasn't feeling the same things that I know she was. And she also was a little bit clingy, like right off the bat.
Mm.
And so we spent Thursday together, Thursday evening. We spent Friday evening, stayed over Friday night. We spent all Saturday together. And then Sunday she texts and says she wants to get together. I said, well, let me just chill out, you know. And
yeah.
Then Monday, she texts and says, hey, you know, I know you want your space, but will I see you this week? And then she said, well, I mean, you're probably getting tired of me already. And then a little frowny face emoji. And that's when I said, look, how about if I come over and we talk? and then it went downhill from there. I didn't want to break up over text. That's tacky, but she wouldn't let me come over.
Mm.
She wouldn't let me explain.
Mm.
I said, I got stuff that I need to give back to you that's yours. She said, no, keep it, throw it away.
Mm.
You know, I'm glad I met you, but then I'm also wish I never met you and stuff like that. So, I mean,
wow.
It had to be done.
She sounds like a fun gal.
Yeah, sir, you've run into what I like to call a stage 5 clinger. And you did exactly what you needed. You got to break that off as soon as you can. You saw a window to exit, and unlike our friend who missed his exit, you took yours.
Yeah, good job.
And... Yeah. Breaking up over text is the norm now, and I know it's look, even at my age, it's kind of strange to hear the way my friends date on Tinder or if they're on Bumble, but
this is
the way it works.
I need to ask something, Oscar, because
let me finish here, just briefly. Wes, this dating world that we're in now, you literally, the best you can do is get ghosted by someone that is trying to take over your life. And if this woman goes like head first into a relationship,
right,
that's what usually happens when you're in your 20s and you find someone online. I've seen friends date for 4 days straight and then they break up all of a sudden.
Right.
4 days straight and then they break. I mean, that's the drug that you talk about when you're like, oh, I'm in love now because it's the perfect person. And by the way, my phone told me so.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I met her the old-fashioned way. I actually met her at a party. I've never done online dating or any of that. I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
Well, she certainly has, because this is a textbook Tinder dating.
Yeah. She needed you very badly.
You were going to say, Rob.
I was going to say that I don't think that breaking up over text might be the standard just based on the face that Maddie made when you said that.
Maddie, you don't count. You found your like high school boyfriend, and then you've been together for through college, and then you guys in state together. How long have you been together with your boyfriend, Maddie?
About a year and a half.
See, that's forever in dog years.
Eternity. Hey,
yes.
That's not use a different phrase.
No, I'm just
even
saying,
if you didn't mean
for
it.
For college kids.
Yeah, that's right.
In college years, the fact that you're still together for a year and a half, and the guy's from California, am I correct about that?
Yeah.
A year and a half is what Mike would call a successful marriage.
That's forever.
That's his
I'm
forever.
Shocked that they're not married and she's not pregnant by now.
Yeah, oh yeah, I please.
Thanks, Oscar.
I'm just saying.
All right. So, Wes, cards well played. Good job. Good job.
You took the right exit, sir.
You think I did the right thing?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, next time when she says, you're the worst thing that ever happened to me, all you do is say, can I please have a forwarding address?
Yeah.
And then you send her junk over there.
And then send a text up a thumbs up.
Yeah, and you know what you do? You say, see you next time. I hope life, you know, I hope life brings you love. And if you write that.
I wrote it.
If you write that, they're going to be like, man. They're going to really wish.
After the two texts that said, I wish I never met you, even though I'm glad I met you, I didn't write anything back.
That's even better.
I just let it go.
Wes, you're a man in you're a man beyond your years. You're doing...
Well, he's over 50. He's probably right about right.
I'm 54, so if I did the right thing, I'm glad I did it.
Mike should have done this with the first two women that he tried to marry.
Don't say
he didn't. He took the wrong exit twice. And now he got Carla, which is the right answer.
Yeah, because now he's got the ways of love. W-A-Z. He's like navigating to happiness.
I've been married twice. I'm twice divorced, too. I'm almost up there with Mike.
All right, you both need a new GPS, sir. That's all I can tell you. All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Wes.
I appreciate your counsel.
Have a good one. Appreciate
it. Take care and good luck.
Let's go to Joel. Joel Rogers, Denver, Colorado. Welcome to the program, TMOS.
Hi, Joel.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
Talking TMOS, Joel.
If you're in Denver, are you at home or are you on the road?
No, I'm at home.
Oh, good for you.
I'm enjoying days off. I was going to talk knots with Mike because I've been taking sailing lessons the last couple of years, but we'll talk.
Joel, can I ask you a question? I actually had a long conversation with a good friend of mine where I explained to him that Mike was tying knots on the air.
Right.
And he might have been having a main moment because it's a radio show.
Sure.
And you're tying knots. Now, we have a fantastic video presentation that if you want to see some solid knot tying, please go to YouTube and type in Mike O'Mara Show or TMOS and that will come up.
Exactly.
Were you riveted by the knots? I know we got some good jokes in, but I was curious, how many people do you think that translated to?
Besides me, nobody. That wasn't even that exciting. I know the knots, and I wasn't, whatever.
It's a good example of narrowcasting. It reminded me of when CBS was really imploding, one of the things they started to do to help their radio presentation is they started simulcasting David Letterman's show, just the audio, on CBS-owned and operated stations on overnights. David Letterman was very displeased with this, but he couldn't stop it because he didn't own the audio portion of his show. So what he did on the first night that it was simulcast, he staged a 10-minute fireworks display from his building so that they had to carry 10 minutes of fireworks on the radio.
No, now, part of me is jealous that he knows all these knots.
Sure.
But I also am jealous of the guys at the CrossFit gym that can do handstand push-ups. But I just
everybody has a skill.
I just know that's not for the radio.
Exactly.
Now, Joel, how do you know the knots?
I've been taking sailing lessons, which is a real challenge in Colorado.
Yeah, I guess so. Not a lot of huge bodies of water there.
No, you sail for about 2 miles and you have to turn around and go back. Yeah. But, it's fun. So the bowling, I mean, that was part of my training, was learning like four different types of knots, but still not fun to listen to.
Do you use any knots when you're flying a plane? I'm trying to think that things would have to be going pretty badly if you had to use knots while you're flying an airplane.
Well, I use knots of airspeed, but that's a different.
That's a totally different thing.
What about tying the cargo in the back?
I think he's beyond that.
Job.
Yeah, not my job, dude.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I can't call you if my luggage gets lost?
No military transports?
No, again, not my job.
Okay.
Hey, I do have a television recommendation for you.
Please.
Bring.
Have you seen John Mulaney's show with Nick Kroll entitled Oh Hello on Broadway?
Yes, and it is so odd. It takes you about 20 minutes to even figure out what you're watching.
Broadway?
Yeah, it was a Broadway show, but it is so funny. So funny.
Although I loved Too Much Tuna. That became my new catchphrase for about a week.
Very cool.
Check it out.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Oscar, let's take a break. If you're on hold, please hang on hold. Yeah. We want to stay relatively on schedule.
We have Delaware, Rockville, Woodbridge. Everybody's representing.
Classic Rockville. We'll be back in a second. We'll take your calls. If you are on hold, stay there because we want to talk to you. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
We're in the dog days of August. The players are already on the field, learning new plays, breaking down film, getting ready for the fall and big football. One man is also preparing, checking his leads, verifying his sources, in order to bring you the most up-to-date analysis so you can make the best picks. Nikki Diamond is getting ready, and he's
in the know, bitches.
Stay tuned. It's all part of the new fall season on The Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah, baby!
Nikki sounds tired.
He's probably on tour.
Could be. Thank you, Jimmy, for making that promo. Isn't it time to digitize your lifetime of memories? I've done this. It's great. You can do it too. All you need is Legacy Box. You just send your memories to Legacy Box. You can send old home movies, pictures. They'll do the rest. Digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, the cloud, or DVDs. It's like magic. I got it on a thumb drive, and I said it this week. I got to really thoroughly embarrass my daughter by showing baby videos to her boyfriend, and it was great.
My parents got their Sony Handycam tapes done.
Yeah, huh?
And when you look at, as immigrants,
yeah,
you just remember how foreign you were.
It
when you get
like,
to see, you're like, I can't believe we were that FOB.
Yeah, and it brings all the memories back to life.
It really
instantly
made me embrace how far we've come.
Yeah, it's so cool. You see, you get your originals and digital files back in a few weeks. You get everything back, but they keep you updated at every step of the process. We've all used Legacy Box. The results are amazing, and also all the work is done carefully by hand right here in the USA. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your old home movies, film reels, and photos. Just visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. And for a limited time, our listeners can get a huge exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS for 40% off your first order. With this exclusive deal, Legacy Box starts at just $45 or save up to $200 on the largest Legacy Box kit. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS and save 40% today. Start with a few tapes or go all the way. Digitize your whole collection. You'll be so glad you did. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS and make sure to enter the code TMOS to save 40% on your Legacy Box today. Get started preserving your past. And back to the phones.
All right, welcome to Whip 'Em Out Wednesdays here
on
TMOS.
No, it's Wide Open Wednesday.
Excuse me, let's go to
thanks, Hope.
Sharon in Delaware.
Hi, Sharon.
Hey, no problem, man.
How are you?
Man.
What's going on?
I have got a couple of points about Tumble and Breaking River, but first I wanted to give a quick shout out to Justin Burke, our weatherman from Maryland, who's driving across Maryland on his bike and walking. Cancer, and I will be participating on Friday.
Okay,
so share. Anybody's in Ocean City on Saturday and wants to support, go to justinpowerkids.org, and we'd appreciate it greatly.
Sounds so like a great way. He can also raise money for a better cell phone connection.
Yeah, well, actually, I think, Sharon, are you running? What are you doing?
I'm on an iPhone, seriously, but there's a plane going over, so
okay, do me a favor. Talking
today. They're spraying everything.
Okay, but you're outdoors?
The Viking River. Viking River.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Right.
Now let's take a breath.
Yeah, relax.
And discuss the program. You got your plug-in. What's the link? What's the website again?
It's justinpowerkids.org.
Okay.
Anytime we can fight cancer in children, I'm all for
absolutely
it. Support it.
Especially when it comes
to
the
TMOS family and so many people down Ocean City, you know, anything will help. That's all.
Good make stuff. It happen.
I'm just going to die because I'm riding from Kent Island to Sharptown, which is like 50 some odd miles. And
yeah, not so bad on a bike. You'll be fine. Yeah, but, you know, get a hefty meal in you and just keep on trucking.
Yeah, do a lot of coasting. Low gears. A
lot of water.
Yeah.
Well, it's I'll cut the flat part, you know?
I feel like that's a ride you can drink on.
Yeah, I think so.
The Tomo story from the other day, I actually work at a government agency, and I've been through that whole thing, the same thing he's been through, but on the other side of it, and it is just as horrible when the agency gets tapped too.
Wow. Yeah. When the funds were seized, that story?
Yeah, so just...
Yeah, because, I mean, it wasn't even a person. It was an account, a sub-account of, like, a facility.
Yeah, I think that goes down... That goes down to infrastructure, right? I don't think that... Todd's story is shocking, and I've been blessed with that story multiple times in our friendship over the years.
I'm guessing usually after a few Jack and Cokes, that story
might happen,
comes out.
Yes,
yeah.
But it is true, and it's fascinating. In my eyes... Yeah, it's just infrastructure. It's the way business is done. Sometimes mistakes are made. They're made on the government level and they're made in the private sector.
Sure.
And you can get them resolved. The idea that someone could take your funds and put them into their account and you have to fight to get them back, that sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what also sucks?
That's
poverty. And roads that aren't paved. And war-torn countries and dictatorships. And I come from one
and
of those.
Viking River cruises through Germany.
Oh, I didn't know those sucked.
They suck too.
But I'll keep that in mind. Thank you for the heads up. But I, this country, in my eyes, regardless of the current, even the current administration or the past administrations, is, as an immigrant for me, the best country to try to swing for the fences and to live in, bar none.
Yeah, take that, Canada.
All right, Sharon, enjoy your ride. Stop taking people's money. Buy a fruit cake. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, get another one. Appreciate it. Good luck on your ride. Take care. Let's go to Mike in Rockville. Mike, you are on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome to the program.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Oscar.
How are you, sir?
I was going to call to thank Mike, but I guess Mike's not there today.
I'm sure he's listening.
Mike is he's a greenhorn on a lobster boat this morning with his wonderful family.
Right. As we decided yesterday, he's taking a boat ride.
A boat ride.
Right. Yeah. I wanted to thank him for mentioning my group, my Facebook group the other day on the show, or this was last week. We've got like 150 new members.
What group was it?
That's awesome. The TMOS Pinup Appreciation Society.
Ah, that bunch of perverts.
It's classy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I created it. I just want to clarify, Oscar is not an admin.
Oh. How did I add
members
Mike?
Members do have the opportunity to add people as members, but they still have to go through the vetting process before they are approved.
I do like that. It's a great page. I know that after you see it, you'll want to call a tow truck.
Yeah. And we have our own version of Wide Open Wednesday that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I'm sure you're ending marriages left and right. We appreciate the good work you do.
Thank you. It's all dedicated to your father. So. Well,
I don't know how to take that. Thank you,
He's
Mike,
your
so
great
much.
God. Thank you, buddy. Let's go look at this. Mo.
Oh, is it time?
From Woodbridge.
Yes, all right.
Mo, stock tip of the week.
What do you got, Mo?
BlackRock BLK.
BlackRock? You want to give me this Oracle? Or Apple next time? God bless you, Mo. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, have you ever done IBM? That's one I've heard of.
I mean, if anything, I cannot wait till the end of the year when we recap his entire portfolio.
Yes.
Because the market has done so well this year that it's probably going to outperform anybody's personal finance manager.
We will post it on our Facebook page with a picture of Mo lighting a cigar with a $10 bill.
Let's go to Scott from, Mars, PA?
Oh, all the way from Mars. Hi, Scott.
Yes. Hey, good morning, gents. How are you?
Great.
We are great, sir.
Wonderful. Two things. First, Rob, I have very much enjoyed your telling of your HBO journey across the three shows on Sarah Fraser, Cake and Cookies, and, of course, TMOS.
Oh, thank you.
It's been just really neat hearing the different, not necessarily versions, but it seems like each time you tell it, you add an extra nugget.
Well, I get time to think of more lies. Hey, so each time I tell it, it becomes more sensational.
The fish just gets bigger and bigger.
But it's, you know what? There's a new aspect to it now that I was thinking about it. I have no idea how I'm going to come out. So now I'm starting to worry about how it's going to look when it's on TV. So now I'm over the elation of it. And now I'm starting to worry because I don't know how it's going to be. So we'll see.
Oh, you're going to be great.
I don't know. I mean, I had the same hesitancy before we did it. And then while we were filming, I was
What do you mean, how you're going
to
look?
No, I mean, like, what if I look like a guy pretending to be a disc jockey? What if I don't pull it off?
Oh, no, Rob. This if you said you were going to go up there and be a hip rock and roll DJ,
right.
I'd say you're the wrong guy.
That's true.
A hack rock and roll DJ.
I can do that, I suppose.
That is the part of your life. I mean, that the role of your life where you say, hey, what can I pull off?
Well, I am okay. I'll say
so
this
for me. For example, I'll give you okay. The perfect example. If someone said, "Hey, you have to be a respected businessman,"
right?
I couldn't do that. But if you said you have to be a respected podcaster,
that you could do.
Maybe
you could pull that.
I could pull that off.
Because you see, here's the thing: I'm 50% hack disc jockey and 50% negative guy, and they're fighting with each other. So the negative guy said, "Well, something's got to screw up." So that's I'm going to worry until it's on. And that's just the way
I'm not saying that your skill set's any less or better or worse than a trained actor.
Right.
But a trained actor has not played the part they're going to get to their entire life.
That's true.
And a trained businessman can't be a podcaster unless they have had the reps.
Yeah.
So it's not the quality that I'm referring to. It's
the quantity.
And it's the practice.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. And I'd been in that situation interviewing a comedian. I've done it a million times.
And we've also done all the shtick of bad DJs for decades.
Yeah, so anyway, but thank you, sir. It's very kind of you to say. And we're all hoping that the best stuff makes it on the screen.
Absolutely. And finally, Mo's stock tip just made me think for Oscar,
yes.
What are your thoughts on Tesla possibly going private?
I did read about this, sir. I'm not going to bore our listeners with it, but I will answer your question. If he does take that company private, the stock frankly, the stock owners win because he'll take it at a premium. Mm-hmm. And if he does do that, he can control the narrative and he'll give himself a lot more runway to really and time to make the market.
But he's nuts, right? He might not do it. He might just be blowing
smoke,
right?
If he has the funds, it would make sense. And okay. If you think about it, they're not in dire straits, but frankly, even when as he's derailed and on calls in the past, mm-hmm. he didn't this past quarterly call. In my eyes, if anybody can get themselves out of this proverbial hole,
right,
it's Elon Musk.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
What do you think, Scott?
Certainly colorful.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's a good move. It like you said, it lets him control the narrative, and you don't have, you know, people whining and complaining because they're not turning profit, and you know, where's my Model 3 and everything else.
Yeah. So the stockholders get paid. They get paid their premium, and they get out.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Have a great afternoon.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scotty.
Your vacation's coming up.
Appreciate it,
sir. Thank you. That was so nice.
That's a good call.
Right? That was more calls like that.
Yeah, and this will be a good one too.
Lena from DC.
Hey, baby.
Hey, Rob Ang. Hey, Vigo. What's happening?
We're great. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I want to talk to Rob Ang about something he said on Monday.
Okay.
Okay. One thing. Gap ban.
Yes.
GAP stands for the three. I think it was three cities or three states. I think that they're from. They're originally from Enid, Oklahoma.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, and you said dance band was dance jazz. It's disco jazz.
You know what? I thought about that on the ride home.
Man, that's been haunting me as well, Lena.
And you're right. And I just played the song Daz, but that, of course, is not by them. That's by a different... But anyway, yeah, because they do sing disco jazz in the song Daz.
Exactly.
So I stand corrected.
Yes, you do.
Thank you so much. That's why you run. Yeah, that's why you are DCP1.
Why
that's
not?
Why you're the mayor of D.C. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one. Fried.
I think she was looking for a fight.
Fried, Arlington, Virginia. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
Are you back from Hawaii?
Yeah. I've been back.
Good. Good for you.
Ralph, what is Hawaii like? Is that your first time there? I feel like everybody that goes there comes back and they say, you got to go.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was great. It was everything that I thought and hoped it would be, but it's just so far away. So... It's a long trip to get there and get home.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. Ocean City's closer, and the experience is similar. So
similar? It's Hawaii. You can't compare Ocean City to Hawaii, you jerk.
I want to say aloha, hon. Hello.
Was that your first time?
It was. It was my first time.
That's awesome. Thank you for the postcard. We still have it in the studio.
So excited.
Hey, no problem. But that was it's the difference between Ocean City and Hawaii. In Hawaii, you can buy Crown Royal at the local Target.
Oh, my God.
Big win.
I'm buying a plane ticket today.
Big win. Fried, let's get to brass tacks here. What are we looking at for the ticket situation for the new season?
You know I got you guys.
Yes.
And remember, Oscar likes to sit low.
No.
Yeah, I know.
No, not too low.
But not too low. What he likes, what Oscar craves is what we like to call premium seating. Don't put him in Ocean City. Put Oscar in Hawaii.
No, Ralph is always taking care of us.
No, he has.
I'll take. I'll take care of both of you guys.
Love you.
But I do have one thing for you, Rob.
Shoot.
Your cruise, and I know I texted you and told you, but I went on two of the same ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna just let you know that I had a friend of mine with me. His name, we'll call him Fried.
Okay.
He had drink of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have went a little overboard one day. And you know that tube, the slide that goes around the whole ship?
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have went in that in a pirate outfit all the way around.
On a Disney cruise? That is awesome.
Oh, man, if that happens, I hope there's photographic evidence. Because I know that the two things I talk about are the water slide and the pirate party. And Carrie said, you know there's a pirate party. I said, what do we do, pack an eye patch? I don't know how you even get ready for a pirate party. So I assume we'll have to sort of play it by ear there.
We learned this on the first time. So the second time, we brought costumes from the costume store. So not only was I having a good time, and then Fried showed up, and then the whole pirate outfit jumped into the slide, went around the whole ship like I was in Willy Wonka.
I love it. Make sure you keep referring to Fried in third person. I think that's very important. Thank you, Ralph. Have a great day.
He's the evil twin. See you guys later.
Take care. Right. Thank you.
All right, we will finish up Wide Open Wednesday after we do this break. He was in a pirate costume. Fascinating. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Cake and cookies.
Hey there, this is Katie. And on this week's Cake and Cookies, we have a live on-air injury. Robert III stops by. 4 a.m. is the cruelest hour. We recap the most bizarre shopping spree ever. And we head to a party. Listen for all this and more on Cake and Cookies number 104.
Goodbye, listeners.
It's the Rob and Katie Show.
There was panic when I named the show Goodbye, Listeners. People thought we were quitting. We're not.
Oh, my God.
It's just a reference to something on the show. Listen, you'll understand. Oscar, I'm going to take this spot in a different direction. I'm going to let you ask me anything you want to know about my fruitcake making process.
All right. You know what? Can we just rip the Band-Aid off briefly?
Yeah.
We're not making it in Rob's kitchen.
No, guys, come on. Let us have our fun.
Yeah, we've got a commercial kitchen set up. And
everything's
taken care of. For those of you helpers out there that were in panic mode and asked, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This has been, how do I put this? This has been research for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
This is the first year we had the ability to actually
pull the trigger
and say, okay, this is the year we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So know this, no fingernails,
none,
no hairs,
zero,
no nonsense. The state will be overseeing this.
Yes, we're gonna have a lady with a clipboard.
Like there, we've got all the right people in place and licenses that will essentially that are mandated by the state we are registered in.
And if nothing else, actually, this is going to be the best year of fruitcakes ever.
Well, what I'm excited about is once we start packaging all of these.
Yes.
By we, I mean we go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Is putting together the premium box.
Yes, and signing all the letters and all that
and
stuff.
And marketing material that comes with it, because We're essentially starting another business.
We
That's
are.
What it is.
Mm-hmm. And you can be a part of it. All
Which
you got to do.
It's going to be a lot of fun, right?
Oh, it's going to be the best. All you have to do is go to tmosfruitcake.com or click the fruitcake banner
yes.
at mikeomaraShow.com. You're probably there already. Remember, there's three ways to support the show, and that's what you're doing. Not only are you getting a wonderful fruitcake, something I take a lot of pride in, you're supporting the show and making sure we can keep on keeping on and maybe sell them again next year.
Yeah.
So please, buy a fruitcake. You will be glad you did, all right? TMOSfruitcake.com.
The one thing I do love researching is packaging.
Oh, you do love it.
Oh, my God. Did you know you could get a four-color... and dollars, by the way, they're crazy. I had to do this for Mangrate.
Yeah.
When we initially started Mangrate years ago.
Right.
You know, we would actually take what was a brown cardboard box for the Mangrate.
Right.
And when we went to a trade show, before we even had anything, we would, I personally had to cut out what was a high def printout.
So you were like gluing things onto the box to make it look like a printed box?
Yes.
Oh my God, that had to be horrible.
Well, but it was fascinating to me to go from there to a run of 10,000
sure.
that was made for you.
Wow.
But initially, you have to mock it up.
I do know this.
Pretty crazy, right?
After the show, when we're all hanging out at Podcast Village, not too uncommon to see Oscar at the Container Store website. Surfing it like it's U-porn.
Let's go to Preston.
Hi, Preston.
In New Freedom, Pennsylvania, you are on the air. Welcome to the show.
That's right. Good morning, guys, and welcome back, Rob.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's right, Preston. You called a couple weeks ago. You work as a paper shredder.
Yes. A blind yes, paper shredder.
That's right, but not that it
which
matters.
Which fascinated me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And actually, by the way, I want to thank the TMLS fan club for a big warm welcome the other week as well.
Oh, that's great. They're good folks.
I joined the group.
Be careful. They'll turn on you soon. I'm just messing with you, Preston.
I'll be careful, all right?
Very How are careful.
You? I'm doing good. I'm just getting ready for my vacation down to Corolla next week.
Ooh, Outer Banks?
Yep.
When you go down, and you go there with your family, or do you go out there with a loved one?
I'm going to go out with family. My mom, my little brother, and some of her friends that she's staying with for the time being. So.
Wonderful, wonderful. I hope you get good weather down there.
Oh, I hope so, too. We're getting the heat up here, so it's kind of bearable.
I think the entire East Coast is getting the heat right now.
Preston, do you go out on the beach, and is there something you'd like to do? Do you? Some people just like drinking on the beach, like swimming, the boogie boarding, anything like that?
Oh, man, I like the swimming. I like the boogie boarding. I like to ride the waves. I like to get my tan.
I like it all.
Look at
That's
this
nice,
guy.
Good guy, yeah.
What a great attitude. All right, well, yes. Preston, what can we do for you today?
Well, I need y'all to keep me in your thoughts because I actually went to a temp agency the other day for an interview for a temp admin job.
Yep.
And the recruiter I met with, she was very nice, and we talked about, you know, my skills and what I am, you know, capable of doing the work and stuff.
Right.
And she told me about this part-time job, what I'm looking for. It's in another town near me. I haven't been up that way for interview yet, but she sent my resume to the people over there, and we're going to be in touch via email during the week. But it's going to be 11-15 hours. It's going to be part-time. It's going to be at a health foods retail slash office place.
Cool.
Oh, wow.
We're still waiting for confirmation about that, but
we'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you. And one more thing. I did tell the fan club about this, but I do a podcast myself. You've probably seen it on the post.
All right. Feel free to plug it.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's called Radio Connection Live. It's every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on 96themix.com. We cover anything and everything related to radio. We sometimes have special guests. We talk about the latest radio happenings. We even do some format changes, too. So you never know what you're going to get every week.
All right. Thank you, Preston.
Feel free to book us on your program anytime. It'd be an honor.
Oh, yeah. I'll talk to the team.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, you tell your people to get back to our people.
Yeah, have our people. We have representation. Thank you, Preston.
Right. Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
You know who we should book is Steve Bridges.
Or Steve Mermelstein. By the way, Mermelstein has a new business. I don't know if we're going to have time to get to today, but I definitely want to take a deep dive into this.
Put it in your pocket. You got to tell Mike about it. I have to say real quick, yesterday I went to lunch with Tom Suter.
Congratulations.
He's in town with his wife for a business conference.
Tom Suter!
And he's awesome. He's our general manager at KCJJ. And he told a story I never knew, and I'll tell it to you in 25 seconds, and please, I think you will appreciate it. I said, how's Steve doing, the owner of KCJJ? Mm-hmm. And he said, we were talking the other day about some of his crazy radio days in the past, and I said, anything that was a surprise? He said, well, there was one thing he said that I'd never heard that if he had done to me, I would have killed him. I said, what was it? He says, he was in a radio war with a competing morning guy, and one morning they had a concrete firm that was on their mm-hmm. that was advertising. He sent them over and had the guy's driveway removed. So the guy gets off the air at 10 a.m., comes home. He got no driveway.
That is. I mean, you could probably get away with that.
Then.
I mean, you could probably, if someone had a good sense of humor.
It's a pretty great stunt.
Right? If you had a crappy driveway to begin with and you're going to get a new one afterwards, worth the effort.
I mean, I'm so glad. I mean, radio wars are nasty business, but that's pretty good. Let's finish these calls because we got to get to Oscarazzi today.
Okay, let's go to Pauly from Brooklyn. Pauly!
Hey, Pauly!
Oh, buy a miracle fruitcake, all right? A
miracle fruitcake.
Pauly, I have a question, if you don't mind, to peek behind your, I would say, production studio. You do such a great job of putting together your recordings. Where do you record?
First of all, you see the guy sitting next to you?
Yes.
He's my partner in
crime. Oh, Rob.
We sort of collude a little bit, but he does
that's
his own
sweet
content. He sends me the dry voice.
My own copy, though, Oscar.
Yeah.
Everything I write is my own.
Okay, where do you record, though? Because I think the quality is fantastic.
It has a great sound to
it.
Yes,
it's very, it's live and it's fun.
On my friggin' Apple voice memo.
That's awesome.
That's so great.
Yeah, but no, but I know that you're probably using a phone, but what I'm curious about is where are you doing this?
Oh,
are
the
you,
location.
Are you in your car?
I'm in my dining room with a big friggin' mouth. That's where I am.
Yes! That's what I wanted to hear.
Oh, that's so great, Paul.
That is awesome.
That is great.
Rob, thank you so much. The production sounded great, man, and it is really an honor that you put it on the air and the reaction that you and the boss are giving me and Oscar. I'm telling you, I'm overjoyed, man. I think I might have to retire.
No.
Yesterday really was the greatest compliment they ever got from me.
We are honored that you take the time and support what we are into. So thank you, Paul. That's awesome. I love airing your stuff.
Am I a full-fledged character now or what?
I think you're part of the Whack Pack, 100%. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Paulie. Have a good day.
Hold on. Real quick. I got Portland stories. I'm going to wait till the boss gets back for that because he can relate to it. And since you let the cat out of the bag about a commercial kitchen, how about doing a VIP where someone could come into the kitchen, make the fruitcakes for like $2, $3, and they bring their own fruitcakes?
Uh, I, I can't guarantee that. We'll look into that. You would have to be licensed
yes.
in the state we'll be baking in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be the issue. It's one of those deals.
Unless we could find one with an...
Gabish.
What if we found a kitchen with an observation chamber?
Like a surgery room?
Exactly.
You know, they probably have one.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, man.
Last call.
Take care.
Last call of the day.
All right. Let's go to Eric in Winchester.
Hi, Eric.
Virginia. Eric, you're on there.
Hey, morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Rob, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Oh.
Do it.
I have a kind of a hack DJ question.
Okay, man.
if you could name a song that defined a decade starting in the 60s, what would that song be?
The song of the 1960s?
Man, what a great question.
A song that defined the decade of the 60s, 70s, 80s. I know you didn't really dig the 90s.
So okay, I would say the 60s. I would probably go with Hey Jude.
Something other than Beatles.
Well, no, I mean, it's pretty hard to divide. But also, the 60s is so tough. Let me come back to the
60s. Wasn't the 60s like Flower Power?
Well, Flower Power, but also there was, you know,
the
early era of pop music. You know, the Doors is a good call. Light My Fire would be a good defining one for the 60s.
I agree with that one.
I would also, if you want to go a little more obscure, I would say Incense and Peppermints by the Strawberry Alarm Clock. That's a sound that automatically is the 60s. Buffalo Springfield.
Rick Springfield.
Not Rick Springfield.
That is his brother.
So, yeah, I think that all of those would be valid choices. For the 1970s, I think that you could probably go with something by the Bee Gees. I think Stayin' Alive would be a good 1970s record. That's an instant 1970s reference. For the 80s, I've always thought Tainted Love by Soft Cell is the ultimate 80s record. And for the ultimate 90s record, I would probably throw my radio out the window, not listen to any 90s music. That's my key. The 90s, top 40 pretty much died in 1990 as we know it. Top 40 as we know it. So that would be a hard call for me. How about for the 90s, something by Madonna?
Well, Oscar worked at HFS.
Yeah, Rob likes, he thinks that this is an actual positive that he just says music died in the 90s. It didn't.
No, but pop music did. The notion of the top 40 or the Hot 100 chart did.
That doesn't mean they didn't make great music that defined a decade.
Well, no, but you see, it can't define a decade because the music became so...
Look at iTunes and look at the top 100 and decide from there.
But you see, that's what the audience got segmented. The problem is MTV. When MTV started playing blocks of music...
Oh, my God, you sound like you're 1,000 years old.
I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just saying that music
became... Video killed the music? The radio star?
That's it. Video killed Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
No, it just, music became more segmented, and it's hard to define a true pop record.
Isn't it fair just to say, I can grow my mind and expand it and say, okay, if the top 40 is not indicative of what is actually the most popular now, I can go to the top 40 on iTunes.
Yes, you can. That's true.
Make that leap.
Okay, I will make that leap and probably break my ankle. Thank you for the call, sir. If I come up with a 90s record,
Eric,
I'll email it to you.
In the 90s, I would say Snow Informer.
Good song. Love that.
Oh, God.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye.
12 inches of snow. Yeah.
And I'm sorry for getting so hostile with you, but I'm tired of these music purists who say, Billboard's not the same. You know what? Music's not the same.
You're right. You can't compare it to the 1930s either. It changes. But I think for the question he asked, what I had was valid. Maybe it wasn't.
Whitney Houston might have been the... 90s, I would say, icon.
I Will Always Love You, The Bodyguard.
It's very popular.
Very nice. It's very popular. Yeah, he said in your most dismissive tone ever. All right. Do you have Oscar Rotzi?
I do.
I can't wait. When we return, we'll do that. But first, this. Oh, it's your mother.
Mama.
TMOS Fruitcake Hotline, how are you?
Bien, mijito, gracias.
This is the perfect time of year for the TMOS Fruitcake Futures Fundraiser.
Always we have one in this time of the year, you know?
Will you buy one for your husband?
Yeah, I live here in Orlando.
Have you had the Spiewak fruitcake?
Yes, was great.
When you buy a Spiewak signature fruitcake, you support all of the TMOS guys, including Oscar.
Yes, my son. I pray for him to be good. What is the best way?
The best way to order is online at MichaelMaraShow.com.
He doesn't have another way.
There's no better way to enjoy the holidays.
Christmas and Thanksgiving is another holiday.
Buy TMOS fruitcakes for the entire family.
Yes, but my granddaughter don't like it. Gracias. Hasta luego.
Okay. Adios.
I love him writing against stuff your mother's already said.
I actually want to send this to her.
She'll say, I don't remember that phone call.
She'll be like, oh my God, that's, I sound so great.
She said, I just remember talking to Larry King. Attention, Northern California, or as some people say, NorCal. If you're thinking of buying a house or selling a house, you need to make sure that you find a great realtor. Fact. Someone who will be there for you, someone you can count on. What you need is Alexander Papp. You see, Alex is a one-man show, and he does it all. He's always been available. He's always available when you need him, and he's been licensed since he was 18 years old, so he's been at this a while. Now, here's what I love. When you phone him, your call doesn't go to an office or a call center. When you call Alex, he answers because you're calling his cell phone. So phone him, text him. He's ready to talk one-on-one and give you the attention that you deserve and focus on your real estate needs. Sure, you can find him on social media, but wouldn't you rather just talk to him? Call him, 916-276-2129. Plus, he loves the Mike O'Mara Show just like you. Alex Papp is licensed in the entire state of California, but focuses on Northern California, from Wheatland to Rockland to Auburn to Sacramento and everywhere in between. So if you need a real estate agent that will focus on you, call Alex at 916-276-2129. Alexander Papp is the real deal. Licensed in California, BRE number 01986031, Prado Real Estate. Yeah, and now, it's such a rare treat, rarer than hen's teeth. I love when we get a chance to bring back this old chestnut. Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Rotzi.
Hen's teeth?
Rarer than hen's teeth.
Do some hens get teeth?
That's why it's so rare.
Oh.
Aren't you going to say I?
Well, I'm shook by that image. I'm like,
that was pretty folksy, I suppose.
Did I miss something?
No, you missed. You weren't at rehearsal.
Ay-ay-ay.
Oh, that's Benadryl. Ay-ay-ay.
Oh, my God. That's allergy. Ay-ay-ay.
His eye fell out.
Thinking of ay-ay-ay-ay-ay.
It's itchy. Ay-ay-ay-ay.
The Brady Bunch house.
I know.
The winner revealed, as you heard on... I think the show last week, Lance Bass, or even this past Monday, was super upset, and he went online saying that someone had come in and outbid him for the Brady Bunch house.
Undercut him. The house is in Studio City, I think. And yeah, he was all set to buy it. I think his offer had been virtually accepted.
He had the highest bid at the time,
mm-hmm.
but the studio that came in and outbid him...
Yeah, it was vague in the announcement on Monday. They didn't say who it was.
Revealed HGTV.
Home and Gardens Television.
I am a fan. Looks like the Discovery Networks came in and had an all-cash offer, and legally an all-cash offer.
Wow.
Trump's, at least from what we're seeing here in the article, an accepted potential offer.
Wow.
So you can take an all-cash offer.
Sure, because it's money on the table,
yes.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have the price here, but it looks like it was listed for 1.85. The bidding war went up to 3+. This is the thing. What Lance Bass was upset about wasn't just losing the house, but also what someone was going to do with the house, because apparently the move in that area was to take down a lot of these homes and then build McMansions.
Sure.
Looks like HGTV is going to restore the interior of the home and is hoping to do so in an upcoming project to all its luster and grandiose, I would say, pop culture phenomena.
Yeah, of course.
Because the inside of the house, when people go visit it now, it's been completely changed.
Well, it's not anything like the set. I mean, okay, I don't want to get too mental on this.
People.
I don't want to get too mental
don't
on this.
Don't do it. Be careful.
Okay, I'm going to throttle back, but I will say this. If you look at the front of the Brady Bunch house... And then look at the set based on where the front door is. There's an entire half of the house that has never been seen on the show because that entire left part of the house isn't there. Also, the right part of the house has no upstairs, so the bedrooms don't exist. And by the way, the house never had a toilet in it. So I don't know where they're going to the bathroom. And if they're going to restore it, they're going to have to put in windows because windows were done as fake windows on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I
can't believe you know all. This is great.
So I really look forward to see what they're doing. But the interior could never match the show because it doesn't match.
But now it can.
They're going to have to. They'll have to turn it.
Well, wouldn't you look? I the Brady Bunch was past my time.
Yeah, but you never saw it on reruns.
I always watched it and I couldn't identify with it. It was kind of like this old TV show.
I could identify.
I was like a Disney afternoon guy.
I could identify with Marsha.
A Tailspin.
Sometimes twice.
Baloo.
Yeah.
Rescue Rangers.
DuckTales.
Yeah. I mean, that was like, oh man, I could identify with ducks. Yeah. Not a bunch of white kids in California.
When I was
growing up in the 70s.
Working to excel in high school, I had a contest with a friend of mine. We each got graph paper and drew a layout of the Brady house and then see how they matched up. We were very close.
Oh my,
we actually
this
knew
so
the
much.
Way the house was laid out.
How old were you?
It was my junior year. It was American Civ. It
in
was
high school?
Yeah, it was an AP class. We were very busy.
I wonder you weren't having sex. This is what Bass wrote. Hey, guys, let's get graph paper and see who can do the best Brady Bunch house.
Well, I wasn't allowed to have sex in American Civ. I had to do something.
HGTV, Bass writes, oh, man, I'd be pretty upset if it was anyone else, but how can you be mad at HGTV? My television is stuck to the channel. Kudos, HGTV. I know you will do the right thing with the house. That's always my biggest worry. I can smile again. Bass, in my eyes, will probably be cast in the show to redo the
I was having the exact
home.
Same thought. And you know what? I bet that was in the offing before he even put his bid in.
I would watch it with him.
I would too.
He
didn't
go to space. He didn't get the house. Maybe no. He can be on the television show.
But you know what? That's such crafty marketing. And does he have $3 million, Lance Bass, to buy the house?
I think that NSYNC money is long like train smoke.
Yeah, like me too.
It is those dollars over the years. If you think the idea that they've even gone back on tour and sold out arenas.
Yeah.
If New Kids on the Block could sell out the Verizon Center.
And KOTB, baby.
Anytime.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's going to come to pass. He never really was going to buy the house.
Yeah, from happy news to sad news. Oh. And I'm actually shocked by this. But again, it's just me and I'm a Brad Pitt fan. But
sure.
Angelina Jolie has come out and is accusing Brad Pitt of not paying meaningful child support.
Come on, Brad.
What's meaningful?
Yeah, he's not right. Does that mean he's not writing anything in the memo?
It just doesn't make sense. Like, I love you. And it's so vague. And by the way, what is meaningful? You've got 20 kids. And it's Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that this is not who he is, and this feels like this custody battle has become a smear campaign.
You know, it'd be great if Angelina and all the kids moved into the Brady house. We know it can suit 9 people.
Well, it does after HGTV redone.
That's right. Well, we'll put her in Alice's room.
Alice's room was
back behind near the laundry department.
Yeah, they don't even get into what the child support is in the dollars.
No, she just wants it to be meaningful.
Yeah, meaningful.
Send it to me in a greeting card.
So strange.
That is odd.
Speaking of kids,
yes.
Did you know this? Disney Sleep Hotline lets your kids hear goodnight from their favorite characters.
Oh, that's BS.
Now, is it BS? Because I don't think this has to do with, like, kids being coddled.
Right.
I think this I didn't have the Disney network when I was a kid.
The Disney Channel.
Only the wealthy families.
Of course.
Did that. My parents barely had cable. I didn't get cable until later in life.
Yeah. You spent a lot of time watching Brave Games on TBS.
I remember going over some friends, like, we're watching the Disney Channel. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, I remember it too.
Like, my parents, like, hate me and your parents love you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm watching the news at 4 on Channel 7.
Can you imagine picking up the phone and calling this Disney hotline and getting one of the characters to say goodnight?
That's
press
pretty
one
wild.
For Mickey, press 3 for Minnie, press 4 for Donald, press 5 for Daisy, and then press 6 for Goofy.
Now, are they recordings, or are they people doing the voices live that you interact with?
They're recording.
Oh, then we should be on this. Press 1 for Charlie Stewing Stabilite.
Each call can only allow for one character, but you can let your kid keep calling back to listen to each one. If your parents are that desperate on the spot, and I'm mentally sending glasses of wine to those requiring multiple dial-ins, this guy writes on.
Is it a fee or is it a free service?
It's free.
Wow. We can make it better. We'll charge.
The toll-free number for you parents out there is only available through August 31st, and you can find the hotline anytime. And, I'll give it to you right now. Limited time. It's 1-877-7-MICKEY.
1-877-7-MICKEY?
Can you call this for tomorrow's Volt?
Sure. Absolutely.
Let's do that, right?
We'll do that. And also, I'm thinking that we can charge. We'll put a landline in Mike's house. You know, press 2 for Salad Fingers. Press 3 for Jeff Goldblum.
This in itself is genius.
And you see Mike saying, as Jeff Goldblum, hold on, I've got to get another beer, kid. But I'll be back in a second to tell you goodnight.
Credit goes to Valerie Williams from Scary Mommy, not a he, a she.
Thank you very much.
One more.
You got time for one more?
Do you know the song Hey Delilah by the Plain White Tees?
Sure.
Plain White Tees, Hey Delilah, which...
A medley of their hit.
Oh, my God. If you were anywhere near a radio in 2006, or 2005, 2006, Hey Delilah, this song was it's the soundtrack to the year.
Yeah, you know what? That's an ultimate year aughts record. That's one that sort of defines the aughts.
It looks like somebody may be making a TV show out of the premise of Hey Delilah.
Based on that song?
Yes!
How could you even do it?
It's this love song,
right?
Where this guy's waiting for this girl. It's just a smash hit, and for a guy like me, when I saw that, I said, "No way, definitely would watch." won't watch The Vampire Diaries because I'm clearly out of demo for that, and I'll be out of demo for this, but I'm in.
But is the show going to be entirely cast by like people that are now in their 50s that had a hit record 20 years ago?
No, but if you listen to the lyrics, it is.
Yeah.
It's like a Felicity.
You're right. God, this really does sound like the aughts, doesn't it?
Right?
This is a 10-year ago record.
Yes! Oh, man.
See all the girls saying, he's so sad. Oh, he's so sad.
I'm getting the douche chills right now because I was dating a girl at one point that lived back here in Maryland or the D.C. area, and I was in Phoenix.
Right.
And she would send me the ring back. Oh, she made her ring back a tone this song because we were dating like long distance.
Yes.
And I remember being like, this is the coolest thing ever. And you think I was 16, I was 27.
I remember I went to see...
Loser!
A couple years ago, I went to see...
Loser!
Went to see the Goo Goo Dolls at Nissan Pavilion. And you know, I have to get there, you have to like go up the hill and then go back down the hill. Plain White Tees were the opener. And we're going up the hill and they're playing this. Yeah. And I look at Carrie and go, damn it, we missed their song. Because it's all they had.
See, you like the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah, I like pop records. I do. So anyway, I'll watch that show. You can come over and we can both watch that show.
No, that's what Dotson and you guys do.
No, I'm going to watch the Lance Bass show with him. That's what I'm going to do. Oscar, thank you. Oscar Rotzi
is
always, hold on as he mashes buttons, always a pleasure. And I do appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to do the audio vault and we'll stick a fork in it. Thank you so much. We are back after this.
Hello, this is internet sensation Tadia Beje. Do you stare at your computer all day? Well, at least it's better than staring at Santana Moss. Face it, you're addicted. So, if you're staring at your computer anyway, you might as well be staring at the Mike O'Mara Show YouTube page. Just go to youtube.com/Mike O'Mara Show and click the bell to subscribe to our page. Now, you can see Mike make fun of Rob's big head or laugh at Oscar while he gets his head shaved. So hit up the TMOS YouTube page and watch all of the episodes that your computer-loving mind desires. Or just throw your computer out the window. Because if you're not watching us on YouTube, you're not using your computer for the right things anyway. Thank you.
Stay tuned next week for the debut of a hot new bit, Toddy's Hotties. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
Yeah, you wrote it up.
I can't wait.
It was pretty good. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Amazon. Everyone knows that Amazon is the best. You're probably shopping there right now.
Back to school, people.
Oh, my God. Back to school is great.
I know you're there.
If you need it, Amazon has it. Just make sure you access Amazon.com through the TMOS website. Today's purchase of the day, no-brainer. Leonard Maltin's book, Hooked on Hollywood. Oh, yeah. We talked about it in the front part of the show. If you have any interest in current Hollywood or Hollywood past, Leonard Maltin took basically a 50-year career and went in and brought all the great stories out. Fascinating.
A professor at USC.
Yes.
I mean, to be able to even walk into a class and see Leonard Maltin as your professor, how lucky are they?
It's so cool. The book is a fascinating read. Lots of great pictures and lots of great info. Make sure you grab it. You can get it on Amazon right now for under $20. It'll be in your hands tomorrow. Amazon really does have everything. Just remember, you go to MikeO'MaraShow.com because the only way that you can ensure that we get credit for your purchase is to access Amazon through our website. It costs you nothing but means the world to us. So thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you again for Leonard Maltin joining us today. That was a very thrilling guest for me, and he's a nice fella. Okay?
Absolutely.
Now, the audio vault for, what is it? Is it Wednesday?
Wednesday.
August 8th, 2018. Open that door and shut up the Bruce Springsteen, because we got things to do. Oscar, you're going to like this.
Please.
Do you know, I don't want to revel in the fact that we're old, but I'm older than you, but can you believe it's been 20 years since Good Burger came out?
20 years?
And this is funny for me because that's one of the movies that to this day, Robert and I can go to Netflix and watch about 20 minutes of Good Burger and still laugh together.
What? So that would be 2000. I remember giving away movie passes.
1998.
Giving away movie passes to this.
And you know, you'd think that the Good Burger phenomenon would be over, but Kel Mitchell says it's not.
I don't think any of us knew how big it was going to be. I mean, I'm talking all the way down to the producers. Like, we didn't know. But it took off. Like, even today... Like, I'll go to a restaurant, and it's like, if it's a burger spot, like, I gotta do the Welcome to Good Burger for everybody in there. And I get free burgers, so there's perks.
That's awesome.
There are perks.
And I know you're jonesing for it.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
And, you know, that's Kel, but Keenan has been on Saturday Night Live, like, longer than anyone else that's ever been on Saturday Night Live. Isn't he on, like, his 10th season?
He is, and it's interesting because... some people get to live at Saturday Night Live, yeah, and other people break out,
right,
or they just leave.
I've heard him interviewed. He is so happy there. Why would you ever leave? Well, because most people, I think that
they want more.
It's a really toxic environment for some people, but I think he has settled in and he's got such a great niche of what he does there, yeah, that he doesn't have to really fight to get airtime, because that's what really kills most people. That, you know, every week it starts on Monday and they're fighting tooth and nail just to get seen on television.
I've heard.
But he's I love his work. I think he's great. And if you go back to the Good Burger stuff, it was the show called All That.
I don't remember. What I do know is Good Burger, I was in my second year of college,
right,
and I remember at our radio station, the reason why I said we're giving away passes,
uh-huh,
is you would get all these movie passes and most of them were garbage because nobody wanted to go to, they just still seats, but you saw this, you're like, oh, something that we finally want to go to, that
something
we're
you recognize
to.
Yeah.
So when you're giving away on the Southern England's hottest rock Good Burger passes, you might get a call.
That's awesome.
Which is nice.
So I can't believe it's been 20 years. Now let's go to North Dakota. They have a semi-pro baseball team out there, and one of the batters was named Brennan Metzger, and he was struck out and he was displeased with the call. So what he did is he went into the dugout and got a huge trash can, dragged it on the field, and told the ump to get in the trash can, mm-hmm, because that's what he thought of the call. I love the call on this. This announcer is having fun with it.
Brennan Metzger's hot. That's a passionate, passionate ball player there in Brennan Metzger. And obviously said a magic word or two to get him tossed out of the game. So Metzger has been ejected here. And now Metzger is not done yet. He's going to do something here with a garbage can. And
I saw this.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
And he put the garbage can behind plate,
right,
and the crowd is saying, "We hear you, Brennan."
Saying he's garbage.
Yeah, get in.
That's a classic. You know, it's baseball. If you can have a little fun on this, well, obviously Metzger's hot, but he has placed a garbage bucket behind home plate in a unique way to tell an umpire what he thought of the pitch.
That is a really talented play-by-play guy to be in minor league ball, because he really did pay. And I love it. I love also the fact that he has the classic DJ crutch of saying garbage. He put a garbage can back there. But that's what's going on with that. I thought that was pretty good.
That's clever.
The lady that was in the live program of Hairspray on television, remember when they did a few musicals, mm-hmm, live on TV? Her name was Nikki Blonsky, and her Instagram was hacked. And she had a lot of insults sent from her Instagram to people that she cared about. And this obviously upset her very much. She went on Instagram to apologize. I guess she got her account back. Here's her tearful apology. And that's not what's funny to me. What's funny is her mom nagging in the background, because I think her mom is probably just not having any of it.
Well, can I just quickly clarify something?
Yeah, please.
Is she super famous, or am I just out of the loop?
No, she's not super famous, but she's famous for the fact that she played the lead in Hairspray.
But the messages were sent to loved ones?
Loved ones and other people in the business that were hateful messages.
Okay, because it almost made... This is an easy cover-up if you're just hammered and you throw out...
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
I mean, because when someone hacks someone's account of someone that's not famous...
That's really not what you do,
is
it?
And then you go after loved ones and people that you... are in the business with.
Yeah, that could be.
Is the easiest cover-up ever, because you're not famous.
That's so true. I hadn't thought about that.
Nagging, it makes a lot more sense now. I have not heard this tape.
All right, let's listen to the nagging mom in the background. Here's Nikki Blonsky from Hairspray.
Guys, I just want to let you know that I've been hacked on my Instagram. Somebody took over.
It's
my job.
That could be the girl that guy Wes broke up with. Maybe.
And they're writing to all the most important people in my life, calling them horrible, horrible things, being racist,
mother.
Being mean about gays. It's a hater. You guys know that I love each and every one of you for who you are. And this is not me writing these things. Please, you have to know this. My mom is right here. I am heartbroken. I am sick.
Give me the phone.
I don't know why somebody would want to do this.
Don't post that on Instagram.
I love that the mom is just so gassed in the back.
Give me the phone.
Give me the phone. You're making it worse. It was an inside job.
I told you, put down the bottle and give me the phone.
It's It's the dumbest excuse ever. It's the dog ate my homework.
It is. It is. It truly
is. Who knows her personal friends?
See, this is what we've learned today, that she's a liar and that Lance Bass was never going to buy the house.
Oh, I can't wait till that breaks later on.
It's going to be great. They're going to say we're Nostradamus.
I saw it.
I seen it. All right, let's close with this. I love Seth Rogen. I love his goofy existence. He always is bringing something funny. He tells a great story on The Tonight Show about how he survived Hurricane Irma.
I was actually in Florida to make like father, because it's a lot of it's set on a cruise ship, and we were supposed to go on a cruise, and then Hurricane Irma came, and we all had to evacuate Miami for Orlando. Luckily, Kristen Bell is in the movie, because she's Princess Anna in Frozen, the Disney film,
yeah.
And she was able to get Disney to give the entire crew like hotel rooms at Disney World.
Wow.
Which made me feel very safe, because I was like, Disney can't let her die. Like, they just can't afford it. Like, especially on their property. Like, that would be crazy. Yeah. So I was like, as long as I'm within a few feet of Kristen Bell throughout this hurricane, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Disney literally can't afford to let anything bad happen.
Yeah, Disney can control the weather.
That is genius.
That is your magic Man. Audio volume. That's it, cool. Oscar, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Maddie,
that's it, folks.
Maddie, thank you as well.
Hooray for Maddie.
Anytime. Woo.
And hooray for Matt Bloom and his infected tooth.
Oh, by the way, Matt's going to be fine.
He is.
He is getting some work done.
He is.
Yes.
Men at work.
Veneers.
Something. Charge the battery for the drill. That's what I'm saying. Go in the garage and make sure they're all charged up.
Not too big, folks. Then they look fake.
Happened to my grandmother.
Pickles.
Happened to my grandmother. Very sad.
I went over. Minis, the big.
Went over to her condo and she smiled at me and looked like dinner plates. I said, "Oh, we've gone up a size." Very awkward. That's it, folks.
You get the right doctor though, you can look like a movie star.
Absolutely. That's a good movie star, like Lance Bass. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Please remember to grab our new TMOS Playapod app today and unlock the 24/7 live stream. It's cool. All messages for the weekly mailbag can be sent to me, Rob with two B's, at MikeOMaraShow.com. Our mailing address remains TMOS, Post Office Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Please send us things. Thank you for listening, and join us again tomorrow for the best part of your day. So long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Why did Mike wait till the end of the show to talk? He was so quiet for most of the show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.